Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
Iran says the path to a diplomatic solution with the U.S. has closed forever.
The White House plays down expectations for trade talks at the G20.
Risk-off sentiment takes hold as geopolitical tensions simmer.
The yen strengthens, gold gains, and 10-year Treasury yields dip below 2%.
Children are being moved from a Texas Border Patrol station after reports of squalid conditions. Plus, will President Trump end the post-war Japan defense pact? I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, the Yankees tied a major league record for consecutive games with a home run in their win over Toronto. The Mets lost in Philadelphia. The U.S. advances at the Women's World Cup.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are lower after a down day for stocks in Asia. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures down 24. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%, CAC in Paris down 0.2%, FTSE 100 down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.4%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.01%, yield on the 2-year 1.72%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed at $57.90 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% or $15.30 at $14.33.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1385 against the dollar, the yen 107.09. Nathan.
Karen, a resolution to the dispute between the U.S. and Iran appears unlikely anytime soon after the latest round of sanctions on the Islamic Republic. Iran now says the path to a diplomatic solution has closed forever. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Alaa Shaheen in Dubai.
No more talks forever is a bit dramatic, but it shows how angry they are. People in the Gulf are concerned about the possibility of military action. You can actually hear it when you talk to these people. However, the officials that we spoke with in the region over the past couple of months seem to think that both sides are really, really, really keen on avoiding military escalation.
Well, the remarks from Tehran did stoke risk-off sentiment overnight, with the yen reaching its strongest level since January, gold hitting its highest mark in 6 years, yields on 10-year treasuries dipping below 2%, and 10-year German yields falling to a new record low.
Investors are seeking safer assets ahead of this week's G20 summit in Japan. U.S. officials are downplaying expectations for trade talks between Presidents Trump and Xi. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin spoke with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He overnight, and we're told the meeting is likely to take place Saturday. We get more from Bloomberg Washington reporter Sarah McGregor.
Right now, they're really just at the stage of agreeing about what the two leaders will actually talk about during their meeting, the scope of their meeting. What we do know from the U.S. side is that there's really no expectation that Trump and Xi are going to come up with a deal by the end of their summit at the G20. But what they will probably decide on is a path forward. And if they don't, then we're in real trouble.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned China is considering blacklisting FedEx after the company's delivery errors with documents from Huawei Technologies. Sources say Chinese authorities have nearly completed preparations to add FedEx to a list of so-called unreliable entities that has shares of FedEx down nearly 2% in early trading.
In Asia today, caution returned to financial markets ahead of that G20 meeting. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 finished lower by 0.4% in Tokyo as the dollar fell to April 2018 lows against the yen. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks were weighed down by losses in the financial sector, a number of banks trading without rights to their dividends, which saw about 50 points wiped from the Hang Seng Index. And the Kiwi traded at a two-week high, rising for a seventh session as the nation's exports climbed to a record in May and the trade surplus beat estimates. Focus now turns to the central bank's rate decision due Wednesday. Bank of New Zealand seeing a rate cut in August. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan is sounding a note of caution about cutting interest rates, saying it could fuel imbalances in the economy. We get more from Bloomberg rate strategist David Finnerty.
Kaplan's one of the more neutral people. He's not really dovish, not really hawkish. He's pretty central line. He came out and said, look, risks are definitely skewed to the downside. He acknowledged those. But he was like, look, I don't think we need to cut rates yet, because he goes, look, let's just see how it plays out. And I think he's saying, look, hey, yes, I understand these risks, but let's see if that actually materializes.
Later today, we hear from Jerome Powell when the Fed chairman discusses monetary policy at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. Ahead of those remarks, tune in for an exclusive interview with St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard. He sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
Now, also coming up today, we get economic reports on consumer confidence and new home sales. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Finney Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says a slowdown in payroll growth could weigh on today's consumer confidence index from the Conference Board. The index is sensitive to trends in the labor market. In May, it rose to the highest since last November. Meantime, the government's report on May new home sales is projected to post a gain after dropping in April for the first time in 5 months. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. In the UK, Brexit remains at the forefront as the race to replace Theresa May heats up. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Well, Boris Johnson says he thinks Parliament would now back a no-deal Brexit. The favourite to be Prime Minister argued that MPs are desperate to get Brexit done after the two biggest parties took a hit in the European elections. But senior figures in his Conservative Party warned that they had the numbers to stop him if he tries to push through a no-deal Brexit. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. On the corporate front, Nissan Motor is pledging more focus on mending its troubled alliance with Renault. At Nissan's annual meeting, shareholders voted to give Renault more say over its future with bigger representation in key board committees.
And again, futures are lower with S&P futures down 5.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 36, NASDAQ futures down 24. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield 2.01%. The yield on the 2-year 1.72%. And the 30-year yield at 2.54%. NYMEX crude oil, little change this morning at $57.88 a barrel. Brent is moving lower, down 0.2% or 13 cents at $64.73. And the euro at 1.1385 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Hey, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get a check on what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. government has removed most of the children from a remote border patrol station in Texas following reports that more than 300 kids were detained with inadequate food, water, and sanitation. About 250 migrant children who were held at a Customs and Border Protection facility in Clint, Texas, will be shifted into the Department of Health and Human Services shelter system by today. President Trump says he does not understand why former President Obama is not publicly backing former Vice President Biden in his run for the White House. The president spoke to The Hill.
There has to be some reason why he's not endorsing him. He was a vice president. They seem to have gotten along. And how President Obama is not endorsing him is rather a big secret. If you want to know, if you know the answer, please let me know, because I think it's very important. And then he goes and lies and said, I asked the president not to endorse me. Give me a break.
A Trump administration official said that Russia, China, and Iran are trying to manipulate U.S. public opinion ahead of the 2020 elections. The administration has previously named the three countries for attempting to interfere in the 2016 presidential elections and the 2018 midterms. Led by President Trump's son-in-law advisor Jared Kushner and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, the administration's two-day Peace to Prosperity conference to aid the Palestinians is kicking off to a less-than-enthusiastic response in Bahrain. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Critics of the plan say they've been through this before. Economic proposals that led to nothing because donors didn't come up with the promised money or deal with real political roadblocks. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh.
We have realized this economic workshop in Bahrain is going to be really of nonsense. It's just simply a theoretical piece of work calling for $60 billion. We don't know where this money is going to come from.
Dozens of countries have agreed to listen, but the conference lacks official Palestinian or Israeli delegations. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump has privately talked to confidants about withdrawing from a long-standing defense treaty with Japan that he thinks treats the U.S. unfairly. That's according to three people familiar with the matter. The president regards the accord as too one-sided because it promises U.S. aid if Japan is ever attacked, but does not oblige Japan's military to come to America's defense. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street now. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, one night after the Yankees' 8-game win streak came to an end, right back to their winning ways. Down 2-0 early against the Blue Jays, Aaron Hicks hit a 3-run homer in the fifth inning. Not only gave the Yankees the lead, it tied a major league record, 27 consecutive games with at least one home run. Yanks poured it on in the sixth inning, capped by a Giancarlo Stanton 3-run shot, his first home run of the season. They were up 10-2. Jonathan Holder gave up a grand slam in the eighth inning. He's been struggling lately. He got sent to the minors after the game. Yanks held on, won 10-8, and Boone was asked if he's surprised by the home run streak.
Nothing surprises me that they do. I wouldn't have set out to predict that they're going to break that. I mean, that's kind of a obscure one. Or now that it's happened with our group, does it surprise me? No. We have a lot of guys capable of hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and I think they help strengthen each other just because collectively they're able to wear down pitchers. It eventually leads to more and more mistakes at different points in the night.
They get the record without any home runs from either Aaron Judge or Stanton, who, of course, just came back after being injured for a couple of months. Mets lost in Philadelphia 13-7. Four home runs, not enough. Controversy continues. The day after Met manager Mickey Callaway had an expletive tirade against a beat reporter he had first refused to apologize, then did. New York Post reporting that general manager Brody Van Wagenen called Callaway during the game to give him suggestions on strategy. U.S. Women's World Cup team, a 2-1 win over Spain, now playing host nation France on Friday. Giannis Antetokounmpo named NBA MVP. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. And a simmering feud between the New York Knicks and the Daily News has culminated in the team receiving a $50,000 fine from the NBA after a reporter for the paper was not allowed to attend a news conference last week. The league says the Knicks violated league rules regarding equal access for media. The team is now pledged to abide by those regulations. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. It's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street now. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European and Asian stocks edging lower alongside U.S. stock index futures as geopolitical tensions simmer in the buildup of this week's G20 meeting. Investors are seeking safer assets in treasuries, gold, and the yen are all rising. Right now, treasuries actually little change. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 6 points now. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year treasury, little change. Yield 2.01%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.72%. NYMEX crude oil, little changed, up 3 cents at $57.94 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1%, up $15.70 to $14.33.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1386 against the dollar, the yen 107.07. And today we are looking for a report on home prices from S&P Case-Shiller CoreLogic out at 9 o'clock Wall Street time. New home sales are out at 10 along with consumer confidence. And FedEx among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Iran's president is mocking President Donald Trump, going so far as to say that the White House is, and quoting here, afflicted by mental retardation. The comments by Hassan Rouhani came after the Trump administration sanctioned Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei yesterday. The government has removed most of the children from a remote Border Patrol station in Texas following reports that more than 300 kids were detained with inadequate food, water, and sanitation. They will be housed into a Department of Health and Human Services shelter. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Yankees have tied a major league record for consecutive games with a home run with 27 games. The Mets lost along with the Giants. The Red Sox were winners. The U.S. women's soccer team has advanced to the quarterfinals at the World Cup after beating Spain 2-1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up to 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest this morning, Steve Blitz, Chief U.S. Economist at T.S. Lombard. Good to talk with you, Steve. Thanks for joining us this morning. I want to get your take on what we've been focusing on in the news this morning, these rising tensions between the U.S. and Iran. It certainly got the market's attention, but does it add to the overall picture of potential global growth risk, that this is going to add to dampening of global growth?
Well, conflicts like that usually do if they really become conflicts, right? So at the moment, I think what you can say is that it gets people nervous for a good reason. And, it has to, unfortunately, turn into something other than just a war of words for it to have some kind of real negative effect on growth.
So what kind of spillover effect could we see if the stand maintains where it is right now, if it just remains a war of rhetoric?
Well, I mean, just think of, Trump and North Korea, right? There's a lot of rhetoric and all that, and the economy and everything just continued to, the markets continued to roll along positively. Even though there was in the beginning, my button's bigger than your button and all that kind of stuff, gave the market some volatility. But look, this is, it's important. Certainly it's important to resolve, and it's important for it not to turn into something bigger. Cause when it does become something, if it does become something bigger, people get concerned and they stop spending. So that's, then that's what the equity markets, in effect, are begin to worry about. But we're away ways from there right now. It's just a new – right now it's a new area of tension, which the world doesn't really need. But, there you have it. But at this point, I wouldn't say it would have has a major effect on growth.
Right. I mean, up to now, of course, the attention for the market has been on U.S.-China. Relations and this upcoming meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi. What are your expectations heading into the Osaka summit?
Well, with the latest news, you just don't know. And I think that Trump, with the equity market up, with the Fed in effect on his side now, on the easing side, and likely the ease in at the end of the month, at the end of July, I mean, then he may be a little bit more emboldened. But I think that in the end, I'm going to take the middle course here rather than predict, doom and disaster. And just say that, look, they're going to meet and they will agree to that there are areas of agreement and disagreement, and that they'll get to a settlement, and that they'll going to restart negotiations along some kind of a timetable with tariffs as the ever existential threat. And I think the markets will be happy with that. And I think that's the best possible outcome you're going to get. And, so that's what we're thinking.
Okay. In our last 30 seconds here, would that be the kind of thing that would get the Fed's attention? If we have that kind of market reaction, would that spur the Fed to move rates lower?
Well, I think the Fed is set to move rates lower regardless. It didn't in June for a number of reasons, and obviously the G20 is a big one. Employment is another one. But they spent the last month or so giving the market essentially the underwriting the market's opinion, basically, in terms of rate cuts. And so for them just to arbitrarily turn, look, it's not the Fed's job to it's not the Fed's job to always support the market view, but the Fed usually talks in the when the market's moving the direction the Fed wants it to move, the Fed usually underwrites market opinion, and that's what it has done.
Right,
so
Steve,
it would take the market to turn around first.
Steve Blitz, Chief U.S. Economist at T.S. Lombard. Thanks for these insights this morning. Much appreciated. S&P futures down 5 points right now. Dow futures down 36 points, and NASDAQ futures are down 24.5 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 5:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we're going to have much more on the ratcheted tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Iran now says the path to diplomacy is closed forever following new sanctions on the Supreme Leader. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon. Data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are lower as haven assets gain, the yen reaching its strongest level since January. Gold hit the highest mark in 6 years. Yields on 10-year treasuries dip below 2%, and 10-year German yields fell to a new record low.
I mean, that risk-off sentiment comes after the latest round of U.S. sanctions on Iran, which prompted Tehran to say the path to a diplomatic solution with the White House has now closed forever. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Ladan Nasseri in Dubai.
What they're saying is that if the Trump administration truly wants to bring Iran to the table, then why is it targeting the top officials? Is it not more about regime change, which is what they have been accusing the U.S. of wanting to do?
Iran's president Hassan Rouhani calls the new sanctions, quote, outrageous and idiotic.
On the trade front, the U.S. is downplaying expectations for a breakthrough at this week's meeting between Presidents Donald Trump and Xi Jinping. Officials say the White House won't compromise on demands for meaningful economic reforms from China.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned China's considering blacklisting FedEx after the company's delivery errors with documents from Huawei Technologies. Sources say Chinese authorities have nearly completed preparations to add FedEx to a list of so-called unreliable entities. It has shares of FedEx down nearly 2% in early trading.
And then in the UK, Brexit is front and center as Boris Johnson claims Parliament would now support an exit from the EU without a deal. Bloomberg's Robert Hutton reports from London.
The favourite to succeed Theresa May as Prime Minister used a BBC interview on Monday night to explain how he would get Britain out of the EU by October the 31st. Johnson said he believed recent election drubbings had left Parliament ready to back no deal. For all his certainty, plenty of MPs believe the exact opposite, and far from moving towards backing no deal, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn hinted at a shift towards supporting a second referendum in all circumstances. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Robert, thank you. S&P futures down 4.5 points. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 23. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.1%, so is the CAC in Paris, while the FTSE 100 is down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change now. The yield, 2.01%, and the euro, 1.1385 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. It's time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Texas Congresswoman Veronica Escobar says the federal government has removed most of the children from a remote border patrol station near El Paso following reports that more than 300 children were detained in squalid conditions. The conditions included inadequate food, water, and sanitation. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke at a panel discussion on immigration in Queens.
Speaker Pelosi talked about the Trump administration's planned ICE raids aimed at deporting thousands of undocumented immigrants. Pelosi said she had spoken with President Trump about the planned raids.
When I spoke to the president, I said, look, I'm a mom. I have five kids, nine grandchildren, and your children are scared. You're scaring the children of America, not just in those families, but their neighbors and their communities.
President Trump is said to be thinking about withdrawing from a long-standing defense treaty with Japan. According to three people familiar with the matter, President Trump thinks the treaty is unfair to the U.S. President Trump is said to regard the accord as too one-sided because it promises U.S. aid if Japan is ever attacked, but does not oblige Japan's military to come to America's defense. The treaty, signed more than 60 years ago, forms the foundation of the alliance between the countries that emerged from World War II. President Trump will meet with China's Xi Jinping, Russia's Vladimir Putin, and Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan while attending the Group of 20 summit later this week in Japan. President Trump has signed an executive order which he says will mandate more transparency in the healthcare industry. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It calls for hospitals to disclose to patients up front how much they are charged for tests, surgeries, and other procedures.
For too long, it's been virtually impossible for Americans to know the real price and quality of healthcare services and the services they receive.
He also wants patients to know an estimate up front of how much out-of-pocket expenses they will incur. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashow.
Nathan, the Mets have fined pitcher Jason Vargas and manager Mickey Callaway. Both got into it with a beat reporter after Sunday's loss in Chicago. Yesterday, Callaway at first refused to publicly apologize, but later he did.
You know, I can't control the actions of others or the words of others, but I can always control my reaction to those things. So I think everybody deserves respect, regardless of job title or role. And, you know, I hope people can understand that this is a tough game played by passionate competitors. And I hope moving forward that we can all do our jobs honestly, critically, understand that other people are involved.
In Philadelphia, Mets had a 6-5 lead, got outscored 8-1 from there, lost 13-7 as the Phils end a 7-game losing streak. They had 19 hits, 10 off Steven Matz, who gave up 7 runs. Met home runs in the loss from Dom Smith, Michael Conforto, Todd Frazier, and Wilson Ramos. Yankees hit a pair of 3-run shots, Aaron Hicks in the fifth inning, and Giancarlo Stanton a long one an inning later, Stanton's first of the season. Yanks led Toronto 10-2, held on to win 10-8. Another big night from DJ LeMahieu with 4 hits, 4 runs scored. When Hicks homered, it tied a major league record, a Yankee homer in 27 consecutive games, even without a single one from Stanton or Aaron Judge. The Yanks move 5 games ahead of Tampa Bay. Hot ticket in Paris Friday. It's the U.S. versus France in the Women's World Cup quarterfinals. The U.S. advanced 2-1 over Spain. Awards night in the NBA. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo named MVP. The Bucks' Mike Budenholzer won Coach of the Year. Dallas's Luka Doncic, the top rookie. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashow.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:37 now on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on Pride Month and protections for LGBTQ workers. Jim Ellis contributed for Bloomberg Business Week.
Right now, you can actually be fired for being LGBT in a little more than half the states. In the employment arena, you can really discriminate legally in a lot of places, and a lot of places do.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street, that's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. Public Service Enterprise Group is the owner of New Jersey's biggest utility. It's agreed to sell its stakes in a couple of Pennsylvania power plants at a loss, marking the last steps at its plan to exit from coal. The deal's expected to close in the second half of the year, according to the company. Apartment landlord Avalon Bay Communities is marketing its first for-sale project. The Park Loggia off of Columbus Circle on West 61st Street in Manhattan. The pitch is these condos are a bargain. They're cheaper than the museum-like spaces on 57th across from Central Park, but in the same neighborhood. David Lentini, whose career in Connecticut banking spanned four decades and included 5 years as director of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, passed away Sunday after a brief illness. Hartford Curran says he began his career in 1965 with the original Connecticut Bank and Trust. He was 66. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team to get some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Manufacturing in Texas has dropped to a three-year low as more companies saw business conditions worsen.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, U.S. corn and soybean crop conditions are signaling potential problems ahead after a historically delayed planting season.
I'm Anna Edwards. On Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London, we're reporting on Boris Johnson's claims that the British Parliament would support a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford is calling on Congress to approve the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And afterward, China is considering blacklisting FedEx. We'll get results from the shipping company later today when FedEx reports fourth quarter results after the close of U.S. trading. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
FedEx has struggled with the integration of TNT and the recovery from a 2017 cyber attack on assets that were acquired in that deal. The moderating economy has also been a headwind for the delivery company. Bloomberg Intelligence says FedEx will be able to change a relatively negative narrative if it can report any improvement in its European business. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Jeff, FedEx is taking the Trump administration to court. The company is suing the Commerce Department over tougher restrictions on exports and imports. FedEx argues the new limits force it to police content of millions of packages. It's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European Asian stocks edging lower alongside U.S. stock index futures as geopolitical tensions simmer in the build-up to this week's G20 meeting. Investors seeking safer assets, the gold and yen rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 4 points. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is now little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.02%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.73%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.1%, down 5 cents at $57.85 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1%, up $13.50 at $14.31.70 an ounce. The euro, 1.1380 against the dollar. The yen, 107.09. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Iran's president says new U.S. sanctions are outrageous and idiotic. President Hassan Rouhani also went on to say that the White House is afflicted by, and quoting now, mental retardation. Rouhani's comments come a day after the Trump administration's sanctioned Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's and his associates. Dozens of passengers from a cruise ship that sailed from Florida to the Bahamas were injured in a bus crash. 32 passengers from the Carnival Ecstasy cruise ship were on a tour bus when it flipped over. At least 26 were injured, and some are said to be in critical condition. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Giants. The Red Sox were winners. The U.S. women's soccer team has advanced to the quarterfinals at the World Cup after beating Spain 2-1. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan is with us from our London bureau. And Jen, we just heard Michael mention the ratcheting up of rhetorical tensions between the U.S. and Iran. The big question this morning is, what comes next after these sanctions? That's what David Fickling is looking into this morning.
That's right. So what are the potential outcomes here? A blockade in the Strait of Hormuz, a full-blown conflict. Fickling says, you know, these kinds of outcomes are unlikely. But however, the simplicity of such a disruption, it should be a reminder for all of us that it's really Tehran's tenuous involvement in the international order, which is preventing this situation from deteriorating further. It's not really to do with its military capacity. And this sort of, if this arrangement means that Washington's attempt to sort of erode Iran's political and economic standing in the world is a really high-risk game. You can really see this by looking at trade. So Iran has always needed the Strait of Hormuz to be open because that's where its own crude and natural gas gets shipped. But this particular failsafe in negotiations is sort of gone because sanctions mean that Asian importers of Iranian crude have really pulled back to avoid running afoul of the U.S. government.
But I mean, I guess the idea of imposing sanctions on Iran is to get the country back to the negotiating table, to bend Tehran to Washington's will. I mean, it doesn't seem to have worked out that way.
No, I mean, the economic pain has been really severe. There's an estimate that GDP will fall by 6% this year. Consumer price inflation will hit 37% because of the pain in the economy. And you've got, you know, sort of barely any Iranian oil flowing. So the further economic pain Tehran would suffer from disrupting traffic through the Strait of Hormuz would be really trivial. But what's preventing Tehran from striking back harder is primarily its desire to win this game of public perception. So it's keeping the United States in a tit-for-tat game kind of just enough so that it still can continue to maintain the support of Russia, China, and Europe.
So then does that mean that diplomacy is still on the table, at least with, you know, perhaps America's allies or others in the region?
Well, it's getting a bit tricky. I mean, what Tehran can do at this point is continue to push the boundaries of the nuclear agreement. So you can see it in last week's announcement that it's going to exceed its cap on its stockpiles of low-grade uranium. Once it starts making moves like this, it's got itself a new fact on the ground that it can use in future negotiations with Washington. This is not a comforting situation because it kind of guarantees, Fickling argues, that this current game of provocation is going to continue until both parties reach a stalemate.
It's interesting, though, to think that that could be the calculus that Iran perhaps is trying to bring the U.S. back to the negotiating table. Does Fickling sort of see it that way?
He doesn't really go that far, but what he does is have an appreciation of just how far Iran has been squeezed and what that does to one's negotiating position. I mean, you can think about the words of Bob Dylan, you know, there are just sometimes when you've got nothing to lose.
Let's move on to the situation in Hong Kong, where the people in that city feel like they have a lot to lose with the leadership situation there and the controversial bill that's led to so much protest there. That's the focus of Anthony Dopperon's piece this morning, taking a look at how China should deal with the protests. What's he saying?
Yeah, I mean, the protests have really been quite remarkable. And, you know, the knee-jerk reaction you might have is that, you know, the reaction from Beijing is going to be a serious clampdown. But Dopperon's point is that, you know, you don't need to so quickly dispense with the idea that there's room for flexibility on the part of Beijing. There's some interesting history here, so it's not that far back, to be honest. In 2003, the Hong Kong government withdrew a national security bill that had been backed by China after 500,000 people protested. And then indeed, following that capitulation, they kind of threw a bag of economic goodies at the city in an attempt to, you know, spur growth and keep the people sweet.
And I mean, the problem here that many of the protesters are seeing is that they feel like their democratic rights are being constrained with this extradition bill.
Well, you know, they've got plenty of reason for thinking that the democratic rights are under pressure because this has been going on for quite some time. I mean, over the past several years, you've seen Beijing interfering with the selection of candidates and decrying them for illegal policy platforms. You know, Beijing's representative contacting legislators to issue instructions. And the argument here is that if what China could do is perhaps try to refrain from such kind of interference. I mean, that doesn't necessarily sit well with its demand for control, but it's kind of going to be necessary in order, you know, to preserve the city's long-term stability and prosperity. You've got to give people the democratic participation that they've come to expect.
So there's a sense in a way that the way Hong Kong was created is feeding the tensions here?
I mean, when it was returned to Chinese sovereignty in 1997, it was always under the auspices of a one-country, two-systems model. The last British governor, Chris Patten, famously referred to this as liberty without democracy. You're supposed to balance the desire of Hong Kong people for rights and freedoms that you'd find in any liberal democracy with the desire of Beijing for control. But he says that this has just made the territory ungovernable. And now you can see with all these successive protests on Sundays, we've really just got to acknowledge that the status quo was failing.
Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. Read more at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The Senior Environmental Employment Program hires people 55 and older who work on Environmental Protection Agency projects, and the agency's inspector general says they haven't gotten raises in years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that sailors injured aboard unseaworthy ships cannot seek punitive damages from ship owners. And an order signed by President Trump is designed to require hospitals and insurers to disclose prices to patients, but employer and patient groups warn consumers may not be able to easily use the information and may confuse price with quality.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now another legal news we're watching this morning. The Supreme Court ruled that owners of vulgar and lewd product names can get federal trademark protection. For more on the decision, June Grosso speaks to Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr.
The justices did decide a really interesting trademark case involving a four-letter word.
Yes, the four-letter word, which I will spell, is F-U-C-T, and it's the name of a clothing line. And the owner of that line challenged a federal law that says, we won't give you federal trademark benefits, that is, putting it on a government registry, if your trademark is so-called scandalous or immoral, basically if it's vulgar or lewd. And the Supreme Court, in what's essentially a 6-3 decision, said that is unconstitutional. It violates the free speech clause of the First Amendment because it puts the government in the position of approving some trademarks because they like the viewpoint of them and disapproving others because they dislike the viewpoint.
Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Stephen Breyer and Sonia Sotomayor issued partial dissents. What problem did they have with the main opinion?
Well, what they said was there was a way to interpret this statute and that word scandalous so that it didn't violate the First Amendment. They all had slightly different reasons. They all wrote different opinions. But essentially, they said you can interpret it in a way that you're not discriminating on the basis of viewpoint. So Justice Sotomayor essentially said, we all know what the words are, words you don't normally say around children, and it would be perfectly fine for the government to ban registration of trademarks with those words in it, and we can interpret this statute so that's what it means and uphold it, but that only represented the views of three justices.
And that's Bloomberg News Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking to June Grosso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures are down 4.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 27 and NASDAQ futures down 23. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.